Good to have you all with us. Call your attention to the book of Hebrews, please. Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6 is considered by most Bible scholars to be the most difficult piece of scripture in that book. Now, thankfully, I'm not going to speak on those difficult parts, except to say this. This chapter begins with a principle and a warning. We're going to bypass that and go to the next few verses, 10 and 11. Before we look at those passages, I wanted to say a few things. The church is God's organization or organism, tool, if you would, for service and ministry. There are a lot of parachurch organizations and do good things, but they are not the primary tool that God uses for service and ministry. It is the local church. There's no better organization than the local body of believers to carry out the responsibility of service. But I'm thinking of service in a particular area, and certainly our passage deals with that. The local body of believers is the very best at the responsibility to service for our brothers and sisters in Christ. We are to care for each other. It is a primary responsibility. It's something we must do, and something that is a mark of a successful church. Not how many they have, but how do they respond to one another? Jesus said it this way: a new commandment I write unto you, that ye love one another. For over 220 years, 229 to be exact, 229 years, let that sink in. For 229 years, Salem Baptist Church has been used of God to render help, love, care, strength, encouragement to those who name the name of Christ as members of his body. 229 years. We were founded in 1794. That's not yesterday. As a Baptist church. Now, the incredible thing about that is the formation of a church that early in the history of the United States was difficult. The formation of a Baptist church was more difficult. In fact, for many years, Even after the revolution, it was hard to start a Baptist church in some states. Certainly, that's true of this state. Virginia, the Commonwealth of Virginia, was founded upon scriptural principles, but they turned to the Anglican Church and made it the state church. I don't know if you know this. The pastors in Virginia early were guaranteed their pay based on the price of tobacco that was sold in the state. In fact, it was argued by yes, Patrick Henry, not too far from here. He was a young attorney. I'm getting aside, but it's very strange. He was a young attorney, and he argued for the prosecution. The defense, the minister, was arguing that his pay should be increased because tobacco went up. Long story short, he won the case. Pastor. But the arguments by Patrick Henry were so strong, they gave him $1 for the next year. That was his raise. So there was a difficulty starting a church. Well, we started. And it grew. Started in this little building over here, and eventually we got this building. Amen? For 62 years or so, they were committed, growing, doing the things that are necessary for a church to be growing and serving and meeting needs in its community. And the Civil War came and divided our union. In 1867, just a couple of years after the end of the Civil War, two groups of people in the church who had been attending together for some years, the black people and the white people, decided on a vote in the church in 1867 to build a church for the black community. They gave them a parcel of land. They put a building on it. They named it Salem African Baptist Church. Today that church is known as First Baptist Church of Centralia. A great work. Salem has a history. What do you say? I thought about this. What do you say to a church that's good night, man? You know, we came from Michigan, and there's no church in Michigan that is even close to that age. And this church, for 220 plus years, has been ministering. What do you say to them? That they were willing to do what God required? Absolutely. How about just thank you? Amen? Thank you. Thank you, Salem Baptist Church. Thank you for your faithfulness to Christ. Thank you for your willingness to follow. Thank you for your selfless commitment. Thank you for your principles to stand true. Thank you for your steadfast love for the brethren. Thank you for your commitment to excellence. Thank you for your work and labor of love for Christ and in the stead of others. God bless you. Thank you. Now our passage begins with a stern warning against falling away. And in verse 9, the writer of Hebrews says, But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you. In other words, he's viewing those that he's talking to as not like this at all, but who are on fertile ground, who are on steadfast ground, who are earnestly contending for the faith. Then in verses 10 and 11, he gives these encouraging words to these Hebrew Christians. Again, he says, you have shown us, you have demonstrated to us better things. And then he says, God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. What an incredible statement. And I want you to notice, first of all, God's remembrance. Write that down. God's remembrance. When it says God is not unrighteous, it means God is not forgetful. Amen? He's not unrighteous to forget. He's not forgetful. He would be unrighteous if he forgot what that church, these Hebrew believers, had done. He would not be God to forget the work and love they had demonstrated throughout Asia Minor. And the same holds true for Salem Baptist Church. God would be unrighteous if he forgot 229 years of ministry. Don't judge this church by the size it is at this time. Judge the church by its corporate, overall, full ministry for 229 years. God is not forgetful. That tells me at least four things. Number one, it shows his faithfulness to his children. God loves us. God cares about us. God watches us. God works with us. God is faithful to us. God does not forget, he's faithful. Number two, it declares his estimation of our service. If he doesn't forget about it, it must be important, amen. You know, God doesn't forget a thing that his children are involved with, that they have to go through, that they do, that they display, the service they render. He sees it all. It declares his estimation of our service. You can put highly valued by God. God is not forgetful. It marks his deep interest in our affairs. Spurgeon said this, God is concerned in all that concerns his children. I love that statement. God is concerned in all that concerns his children. It marks his deep interest in the service that you show as 8 years your pastor. The 8 years have been one of the greatest things that have happened in my life. Because the friendship, the camaraderie, the community, the love for each other is so evident in this ministry. Thank you.
Amen.
God is not right, unrighteous. It shows his absolute commitment to the body. It shows his absolute commitment to the body. And the writer said, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. That is a commitment. It's like God saying, what you do is important. What you do matters. There's a lot we can do in this life. There's a lot we do in each of our lives that don't matter one iota. They don't mount up to a hill of beans. We're not going to get rewarded for some of the silly things we do. But when we work for Christ, we love his church, God remembers it. God does not forget. He can't. He's omniscient. He's omnipotent. He's omnipresent. He's immutable. He can't forget. From your first organizational meeting, wouldn't you like to go back and see what that was like? 229 years. From the first organizational meeting of Salem Baptist Church to this present day, think of that. How many of you remember what happened 9 years ago? I don't remember what happened yesterday. But from your first organizational meeting till today, God remembers every single moment. That is incredible. They're written down, kept as examples of Salem's service to God and to others. Every deed done, every care shown, every single penny given, every sacrifice made, God knows, and he's not forgotten one ounce of it. All God's people said. God remembers. There's a second thing. There's a record that God kept. And it's mentioned here, for God is not unrighteous to forget. Here's the record. Your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name. Notice, when they loved the brethren, it was a declaration of their love for God, which ye have shown toward his name, in that ye have ministered. That's the Greek word, diakinos. Get our word deacon from it. It means servant, table helper, table server. It's not anything you can get puffed up about, but it's something God gets puffed up about. when he sees his people serving, ministering, loving, doing. He doesn't forget it. Their work and labor of love. That tells me something. It was doable. Amen? It wouldn't be mentioned if it wasn't seen. It wouldn't be mentioned if it wasn't remembered by others and it wasn't talked about. People all over Asia Minor knew about this. These Hebrew Christians were not silent. Under deep persecution, they served God and helped one another. God, give me churches like that. It was compelling. Consistent. It was done for God, amen? Any service we do first of all, not for accolade, not for praise, we do it for God. And then at that point, you're not important. But the doing of what you do is. And God keeps the record. And though men may not remember, men may not understand, they may not see, God sees. God has showered us with mercy, wrapped us up in his grace. Should we not be servants? Why? We love him because he first loved us. That's why. The word work represents the service they rendered. They worked. Another word used here is the word ministry. They ministered. They served honestly. They cared openly for those in need. In fact, it carries with it even the thought of difficulty. It could be that they literally hazarded for the faith in helping the persecuted, in being afflicted themselves, they gave of their poverty. They helped the poor, the needy. Sisters and brothers in Christ. In fact, you go over to the 10th chapter of Hebrews, verses 32 and following, and I won't take time to go there. You'll find out what kind of difficulty they faced. What was it that they went through? Many died for the faith. Many were thrown out of their homes for the faith. Many were not allowed to keep a job for their faith. They couldn't even buy groceries. Believers, these Hebrew Christians, these Jews, who decided that they were going to do everything they could do to help their brothers and sisters in Christ. They hazarded for the faith. Hardship, yes. Toil, yes. Tears, probably many. All in the stead of the saints of God, their fellow believers, their work. Then it says labor of love. Labor of love represents the motivation behind their work. It was a labor of love. It was motivated by love. Not so people could see it and say, man, look what they're doing. just love. Why do you help people? You're supposed to help them because you love them. The world is looking. Not so much for a doctrinally sound ministry, although you need to be doctrinally sound. They're looking for a ministry that is an example of love. That genuinely declares the love of Christ. When they worked for God, it was a labor of love that demonstrated their love for God, their love for Christ, and their love for the body, one another. They were motivated by love to both work and labor. And I think that picture is saved the Baptist Church. I'm pastoring the big church. I worked as a youth pastor in a church, and there were 500 teenagers. I know what that's like. But I would go a long way to find the kind of love I found here. It has nothing to do with how big you. You have demonstrated this very thing. The writer makes one request. Verse 11 says this. We desire that every one of you do show or declare the same diligence that you've been shown to the full assurance of hope. To declare the assurance you have that Christ is coming back and you're going to be with him. You want to declare that? Then do the same thing you've been doing. Keep on until Jesus comes. You've been ministering for 220 years, Salem Baptist Church. Keep it up. All the records, listen to this, all the records are kept by God. All God's people said. He's written them down. He's counted them up. And one day, he will declare them all. In Psalm 56, verse 8, the psalmist wrote this. Thou tellest my wanderings. The word tellest means you remember, or to recall, or to share. Thou tellest my wanderings. Now that word sounds a little scary, but it means the difficult travels that you face in life. God recalls. God talks about the difficult travels you have faced in life. And listen to this. And he puts them into a box. And he writes them in a book. All God's people said. Every tear that dripped from the eyes of people that Salem Baptist Church, who have been involved in loving others every single tear of service you rendered, every single tear of the hardship you faced. God did not let them fall on the ground and disappear. God collected them in a bowl and wrote them in a book. And someday he's going to call you up and say to you, welcome. And you say, why? And he'll hold up a bottle and say, every tear that you shed, I collect. Malachi, chapter 3, verse 16 says, then they that feared the Lord, and we spake off one another, that is, they shared with one another. Doesn't mean they just had some conversation. It means literally that they spoke to one another about things that are important in God's word. They shared with God. And the Lord heard them and hearkened. And the book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought about his name. All God's people. Gabriel, come here. I want you to take down some important information. Last week I saw Eddie. He went to see his parents to minister, to care about them. Put that down. I saw Salem Baptist Church back in November pack over 200 boxes of gifts they bought, filled up to minister to children who have nothing. Write that down. Book of remembrance was written before him about them. The Lord is not unrighteous to forgive your work and labor of love. God bless you. Thank you. Lord, help us today. As we recall what you've done here over 220 years, Lord, may we remember what a blessing it is to know you, to be thankful for what you've done and how you've cared for us and watched us, used us, moved us. God, help this church to continue. We pray in Jesus' name.